Hey, thanks for tuning in, everyone. I'm Andrew Mall at Ask the Data, and I'm here with Asad Khan, who you might recognize from some of the other Spark videos we've done.
Hey, I'm Asad. I work on AG Insight, primarily focused on Spark.
Yep, he's the man when it comes to Spark. Asad is good people. He's going to show us through kind of what Spark SQL looks like and how it works in Spark as a whole, and then a little bit of the HG Insight specific Spark SQL tips and tricks you might want to know, how to tune your query, how to build your query, and he's actually going to take us through end-to-end building that application. I'm sure you're ready to dive into that, so I'm going to turn it over to Asad so he can start showing us exactly what how Spark SQL works and how to do it.
Thanks, Andrew. So yeah, as Andrew said, like the key thing in this is that if someone is watching this video, they can literally follow step by step and then get their first query running against the sample data set. Like, this is the same data set we used in some of other videos, but at that time, the data prep and everything was done behind the scenes. So I came in and they're like, oh, see how fast the query is running? In this one, we will go from zero all the way to that point. Okay, so let's get started. What I have is the Azure portal. This one is the old Azure portal. You can also switch to the new Azure portal. HG Insight is available in both portals. So the first thing I will do is I will go and create the Spark cluster. So if you go to Data Services, HG Insight, you will see that there is Spark and currently it is in preview. I will go and use the custom create. The reason I will use the custom create is that I want to go and pick up the VMs. So I can say asadk-spark1, that's the name, and I want to go and use deploy the Spark workload. Then I go and pick up the this is the only version we support right now, which is the 1.3.1, and it is on Windows. Going forward, we will also offer Linux. Then you click on the next one. Let's say I want to go and create a 12-node cluster, and I will go and pick South Central. This is because I know my storage account is there. You can pick any place. Then I will go and say the head node should be D3, and the data node is also D3. And this one is an important part. Unfortunately, the default, which is the A3, and we are changing the defaults going forward, is not ideal because of the memory usage of Spark on the head node. So pick something which is bigger. Either you can pick A4 at least, or if you go through the D-series, that is useful. The other thing is that the D-series are also useful from the data node side because they have SSDs. So when you are caching your data in memory and on the disk, like SSDs are used, and which is very efficient. So you click on the next, you give the, let's say, Spark user, and then you give a password, and then you, what you can do is that you can say, I want to enable remote desktop, not needed. You can say, I have a Meta store. And again, I don't want to go too much in that, but in HG Insight, the data is also separate from the compute, as well as the metadata can be separated. And I can choose not to, or I can choose I want separate metadata. If I keep the separate metadata, then my cluster is pretty stateless. Then I can drop the cluster, create the cluster, and attach to the same metadata. So let's say if I say yes, and I go next, it will say, where is your metadata store? And this metadata store is nothing but a SQL database. So before this demo, I actually created a SQL database and called it Asad K Meta Store. So just so I remember the password, I use the same username, Spark user. And password, and it will go and verify, and then I can go ahead. Actually, yeah, let me also push it here. Spark user and password, and now I'm good to go. Now it will say which storage. So I will say use an existing storage. I will pick my storage account, and then I will say go and create a default container, and then I will say next. I'm not running any script action. If you can go and read more about script action, and I say go. And at this point, basically I submitted the request, and this takes 20 minutes. So assume I have a clock.
So brought our own.
That you are sitting around, and the 20 minutes has stuck here. 20 minutes.
20 minutes have passed.
Okay, so now we are back. Now, rather than using Spark 1, we will use Spark 01, which exactly has the same things which I gave here, which is 12-node, D3, head node, and data node. So here is my Spark 0, and I click on it. You will see a couple of things. One is that you can go and scale this cluster up. So it has 12 nodes, but if you want more, you can go up and down. Coming back to the dashboard, you can go and see that we have links to notebooks, which is Jupyter Notebook, Zeppelin Notebook, as well as the Spark dashboard. So let's click on one and then go from there. So this opened the dashboard. I'm clicking it second time, so it did not ask me the username and password. If you are doing it, it will use it will ask you the username and password that you gave when creating the cluster. So now, a couple of things here. You will see tabs on the top, and then you have data or information in each one of them. This is the first one, tells you the Spark version number. It is 1.3.1. It tells you that in total you have 48 cores, very important data, you will notice. Mm-hmm. It tells you the total memory. It tells me that these are the 12 nodes I have. Each node has 4 cores because this is D3. Each has 2 GB used, so it is available, 13 GB is available on each node. Then some of the applications which automatically get started. The second is the resource manager, and actually I will come back and use this one. This one does not come with the Spark standard. We introduced it because we found it, people struggle a lot. Like they have to get to the cluster, they have to figure out which XML files they have to go and change and all of that.
So this is just a number of configurations in the Spark cluster, correct?
Right, and we surfaced the key ones, and there are many, many others, but we said these are the ones people normally interact with. Mm-hmm. And that's why these are the ones which are exposed. Once in a while, we see, there is another one we should have exposed, and then we expose it. In the fullness of time, we want to get to a point where the cluster automatically adjusts mm-hmm. based on what app you are running. And that none of that is available in Spark. So we are figuring out the right way how we introduce that capability.
Yeah, that'd be really helpful.
So, coming back, I have notebooks, and I will use these ones. I have the file browser, and it will show me this is the storage account which I connected. I can drill down into that one. I have the Hive editor, and a lot of people ask, like, why Hive editor? How is it being used? So this Hive, if you type Hive in here, any standard Hive, it will go against the same cluster, but it is not using the Spark engine because Spark does not support Hive. It uses Spark SQL, which mm-hmm. we'll talk about. But at the same time, one thing which I noticed is that many people are coming from the Hive world. So they still use Hive to prep their data.
Sure.
And create the tables. Once the tables are there, then they are saying, now I can use Spark SQL. But preparing the data, like, I don't want to use Scala. I want to use Hive. Mm-hmm. And then we say, yep, you can go and type it in. Because Hive and the Spark and Spark SQL share the same metadata story.
Okay.
So if you create something here, you will see it over there.
Great.
And then these are the quick links, which is like documentation and the ODBC driver if you want to go and use any BI tool. Okay, so the first thing I will do is if you go to the resource manager, as I mentioned, there are three apps. One is the default, then the other one is Thrift Server, which is used by the BI tool, and it gives you, if you go and click on the information, it shows you a little more information, and then Zeppelin. Each one of them has 6 cores allocated. So it's literally less than a node. So mm-hmm. basically, although I created a 12-node cluster, I'm not using. Like for each of the app, I'm hardly using a single node. And I'm only using 2 GB. So it's a very average or below average cluster in terms of the compute power. So now what I will do is that I can fire up the node here, or I can go back and do the same thing here. So let's say I click on this thing. It will bring up the first one, which is the Jupyter, very, very commonly used with the data science community. You can go and click on the tutorial which ships with it. It just shows you how you can go and write your first Python code, and then you can just run it. You just hit Shift Enter and it will run it for you. We want to spend more time on Zeppelin, so I will close this one and go back here and click Zeppelin. One thing is that Zeppelin had a security mechanism which made it very hard for us to have a seamless experience where you click and it comes up. Mm-hmm. So it uses two different ports for so
okay.
one port does the authentication and the other open, serves the notebook. So you have to go to two different ports.
And this is why you have step one and step two.
So basically, that's why we have step one and step two. This is very ugly. So this one, our engineers, and I think you talked to those Alejandro and Joel.
Yep.
They have fixed it. We will go and refresh the bits. I think people, if someone is watching this video way down the road, they will not even see this thing.
Yep. Just a few weeks
from now.
So for
now, this one, I will go and click on the first one. It does the authentication. Again, it caches my username and password. Otherwise, you will type in. It goes to one port and validates. Then I go and close it, go to the second one, and I have my notebook over here.
Mm-hmm.
So now the first thing I will go and do is that, actually just for the sake of it, what I will do is like I will change some configuration so you can go and see how it works. What I will do is that let me go and say I want to give Zeppelin 4 extra cores. So let's say I want to give 12 cores here. And I want to give Zeppelin extra memory. So let's say I want to give 6 GB per node. And make sure you always do the sum, and it should be less than the total. So I still have, like, I have only allocated 24, and I have 48. So actually, I can go up, and I can say 18, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, I have 13 per node. So even if you sum it up, it's less than 13. Now what I will do is...
And those are the values just from the D-series that you're using in those, right?
That's right. And I can say, I give the same over here. And then I say submit. As soon as you submit, you will see that it says that configurations are being submitted. And now if you go back to the Spark UI, you will see nothing. No nodes, no app running. Like I reset the whole cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And many times actually Spark becomes unstable. I just go there and just hit submit
mm-hmm.
rather than doing an RDP or something, and it literally resets.
And it just resets everything.
What it does is that it says, oh, new configuration have come. So it goes and stop all the services,
mm-hmm.
the Zeppelin service and the Spark and Hive, and all the services are stopped, and then it restarts everything for you.
Okay.
So in a sense, this is like a hard reset button for you. So it will just take a second. So see, now it's back. So running application, there is only one, which is the PySpark, which always comes. You can see there is no Zeppelin now running. The unfortunate part is like now this one is now disconnected because I just restarted the thing.
Yep.
So I will close and I will go and again open the thing, and it should come back, and it should
now
be connected.
We're ready to go.
On the top right.
Cool.
Okay, so now let's go and get some data and quickly
mm-hmm.
write a query against it. So I come here. Open a browser. I search for the Chicago public data set. This is, again, as I said, like I'm just using the same data set so because I used it in other demos. Otherwise, you can go and pick any data set. This website has a lot of interesting sets. I will go and pick the same one, which is the crimes. This has all the crimes that happened in the city of Chicago from 2001 till very recent. I think they update every week. And it has a bunch of information, and I can go and I say I export it, and I will go and click on the CSV file. And as soon as I do that, it says save, and I can say hit save, and I hit save, and it takes, I don't know, like last time it took like 10, 15 minutes. So,
okay, so click that clock.
Click that clock, 15 minutes go by. And okay, so the data has been downloaded on my computer. I go to that location, and I think it is in Spark demo. Let me quickly see. This is the one. It is 1.3 gigabyte. And what I will do is like I have a Cloud Explorer, and in the Cloud Explorer, I will go ahead and actually this is the one which. Thing. Delete the other things which I created before.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing it will have is I can even go delete this thing. So what you are seeing over here is the view of my Azure storage account. So the product I'm using or the viewer I'm using is Cloud Explorer. You can go and look for it online and search for it and download. It has a free version. This is the free version. It gives me access, or it gives me the Explorer on top of my storage account. So
yeah, great tool. I've actually paid for it. I don't usually pay for too many of the tools. Yeah, and I've made the paid version for Cloud Explorer.
Actually,
it's really worth it.
The one which is like the one which is expires after a month, which you have to pay. And every day, I have to go back to
they
that.
They get it, yeah.
It has a lot of capabilities. It works.
It's good stuff.
So I downloaded this thing, again, as I said, a 1.3 gigabyte file, and it's a CSV. That's why I think it shows it as an Excel icon. Now I come back here. So I went to the site, downloaded CSV, put it in my storage account. And now I come here and then go to the notebook. So let me create a new one, create a new note. And the first thing I say is SQL show tables. And the first time it will take a while because, or a few seconds, because this is the first time it is going to the server and saying, oh, there is no app, so it will go and create a Zeppelin app. And after that, all the subsequent commands run very, very fast. So what I have run is my first actually Spark SQL query, which says show tables, and it says there is no table. There is only Hive sample data that we ship with every cluster. So what do I have to do? I will go and point to the file which I just downloaded and define a schema around it so that I can write query. So I will go and quickly show both paths. The first path I will show is like how do you do it in Scala, then I will do it how do you do it in Hive. The data prep part. So this is the script I wrote ahead of time. So let me go and copy paste it here. And what it is doing is that it is saying defining crime raw, and it is giving the location of where the file is. So you will notice that the first thing, and let me make it a little bigger. The first thing is the container name. The second is my storage account, and then it is the folder where the file is. So let me go quickly here. So this is the storage, Asad K storage. Crime is the container. Within the container, I have crimes, and the crimes has this file. So container and sign, storage name, folder, and where the file is. I go and run this thing, should be quick. The second thing I will go and do is I will go and define a class. This is a sort of defining the schema on read, which I will go and use to populate later. So I'll go and run this thing. It's just defining the class, so it's fast. Then I will go and actually go and say read the file. So this is slightly an interesting command. And this is where you have to know a bit of Scala. What I'm doing is I'm saying do a split, and the delimiter is a comma. Then what I'm saying is that if the length is not 23, first of all, if there is an ID, skip it. That will skip the first row, which is the header.
All the headers.
That is not containing the data. The second is that if the length is not equal to 23, skip it, because that file has a lot of garbage. So basically, garbage, or like it's not cleansed.
Sure.
So many times there are rows which has only five columns, and then you cannot know which five columns are there. Are these first, second, or nulls, and or that.
Pretty common. You have to. So data's never as clean as it's supposed to be.
So basically, this one command again shows the power of Scala. It just cleans everything which is not fully defined. Then it comes here, and then it says the first one is int. And then these are strings. Then if this is not empty, then convert it into int and int. So I define the type. And then I go and define it, convert it into data frame. And again, like in some other videos, I think we will go and talk about data frames.
We talk a little bit about the data frame, but it's another way of storing data. It's very similar in a Python data frame. It's the same concept here.
So I go
think of it as a table.
Yep. So I go and run this thing. The next thing I will go and save it as Parquet. So this is an important point. Let me go and quickly run this thing. So I am going and saying the crime data frame, which I defined here, save it as a Parquet table. So when I run this thing, it is converting that CSV into Parquet. Very, very important point. So basically the first point was, if you want your queries to run fast, make sure you give enough resources to the resource page. So I gave like 18 cores. You can go up and down.
Yep.
Second thing is that if you want your queries to run fast, you go and convert it into Parquet. Parquet is a columnar format.
Okay.
And you can take any file and convert it into Parquet. People who are coming from the Hive world, they might be familiar with other formats like ORC and others.
Yep.
But Spark takes Parquet and uses it very, very efficiently.
Okay.
So this takes just a little while. But at this point, at the end of this command, basically, I will have the file in the Parquet format. So going back, let me just pick the last one. So the next one I will go and run the command is the save as table. Basically, what happens is that when I'm going and defining something in Scala and even the data frames, it is defining everything in memory, right? So I remember I said like there is a metadata store, and the metadata store is common between Hive and this thing. What happens is that I have to go and save it in the metadata store so that table is permanent.
So that it's doing a lot of the lazy loading up until this point.
Yeah, and more than that, like basically all the definition are in memory.
Sure.
So literally, like, if I go and open Jupyter, the other notebook, and I say what are the data frames, it will not see this one because this one is just in the memory of this
in the specific app.
Yeah. So, and if you go up, and when you say show tables, you will notice that it says the table name and is temporary, is it true or false? So for this one, it said is temporary is false. So this is a permanent table, it is stored. If there was something which is in the memory, it would say that, yes, that one is temporary.
It's temporary because it's only available within this app and this notebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this one is almost done. And
so this saves as table then, is it just saving it also to the as an RDD, right?
So basically,
or just the metadata around
make
it.
Data frame, you can store it as table.
Okay.
So basically, so at this point, we just
now it is finished.
That command, so I will have to still say save as table. And now at this point, it will go and take that one and save it as table. So at the end of this command, if I go back and run show tables, now I should see another table in there which will say crime.
Okay.
Let me say it takes 5 minutes or 2 minutes, and then we can actually jump ahead. So it takes 2 minutes to save it as Parquet, and then another few minutes to go and save it as a table.
Okay.
In the meantime, what I can do to save time is that I can get to the same point through Hive. We can run it right now, or maybe do it. Let's do it at the end. Let it finish.
Yeah, we can. We can go over to the Hive console, though, and move the code over there.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, what I will do is that the same code, all the one which I just cut and paste in Scala, I can go and do the exact same thing in. I come here. Go to the Hive editor and paste it over here. And let's say defining my crime table.
Yep.
So in this case, you will notice that you are creating an external table in Hive, giving the same location, crime container name, and then crime folder. And the same storage account, then defining an external table as Parquet, and then moving everything from the raw into the crime. So I just named it crime 2 because this one is crime 2 because the one which I created in Scala is crime 1. So let me go back and see where we are. So yeah, this finished.
Okay.
So let's do the queries first here. So SQL show tables. So what would you expect?
We should be seeing two tables, Hive sample table and then crime, both
That's
false.
Right.
All right.
So basically, we just created this one. And here comes the point where the third point of making your queries fast is you should cache the table in memory.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, so let me run the query without caching the table. So let's say I say select star from crime, and let's say limit 100, right? So I'm doing a select star, so I ran it. At this point, there are 6 million rows in this.
Okay.
And as you can see, the resources allocated are not that many. So, and I'm running the query for the first time, so there is nothing in memory. Mm-hmm. I just created the thing. It still ran pretty fast as compared to Hive.
Yeah.
But now
we didn't get a coffee.
Yeah, yeah. So now what the command is that I will say is, I will say cache table crime. What it will do is that it will take like 2 minutes, so we can actually edit that or jump people ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But this one actually will take the entire table and pin it in a sense in memory. If my memory was not big enough, like I have more memory than the table is 1.3 gig, what it will do is it will spill over to the SSDs.
Okay.
So, but still, it will still be very fast as compared to going against the blob.
And that's one of the big reasons for going for that D-series VM when you spin up those,
so
those clusters.
So, Spark has this concept of sort of using the tiered storage.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is using memory. If memory runs out, then it uses the SSDs. And if the SSD runs out, then it goes against the store.
Okay.
So at this point, it is 25% done. So, let's wait for few more minutes. So now the table is cached. So now let me run the same query. So if I say SQL select star from crime and say limit 100. So see how fast
it was? Pretty much instant.
Instant. And now we can go and write the other query. So let's say select crime primary type. Actually, like, how do I even know the column names? I can either look from here, or you can say describe crime, and it will give you the metadata for the table.
Cool.
So I will go and look for the primary type of the crime. So I will say select primary type and the count as total from crime. Let's say having a total, let's say greater than 1,000. Actually, let's stop here and run it. Group as total from this, and I forgot to give the group by. Group by the primary type. And it will go and give me the all the categories of the crimes. And again,
one
power of the notebooks is that you can do visualizations. You can see right there. If you don't like this one, you can rerun. You can say order by total. And so now you are not afraid to rerun your queries because they are so fast. You can even say like, oh, now I want it descending. So go and rerun. Every time it is running a new query, but I'm not afraid because it's so interactive that I can go and fix my
you can actually
So I can
do this while waiting.
Yep. So I can go and do a more interesting query. I can say SQL select let's say date or something. Let's pick. Yeah, date is a one. So you can say select date and count as total from crime and group by date and having total, let's say, greater than 50. So now what I'm doing is that I will go and look for every day since 2001 till today. Any day where there was more than 50 crimes,
mm-hmm.
I want to go and list it out.
Okay.
And as you can see, the result is back. I can go and visualize the thing, and I can go and start exploring, like, when was those days where I can see the spikes.
Yeah.
And again, as you know,
is it, you know, the night before Thanksgiving when everybody's at the bar, is it New Year's or what?
So this was one run. Basically, took the file from the website, any CSV file, downloaded, write the Scala program, and can go and run it. And so basically, the three things for optimizations: give the right resources to your app. The second was use Parquet. Mm-hmm. The third was cache the table, and those three makes it go so fast.
Yeah.
So quickly, I will go and do the other one, which is like this is the cut and paste we did. I go and submit, and when this finishes in the end, I will have another table when I will say show tables, which will say crime 2, and then I can run the same queries, same speed, no difference. Basically, this is just defining the schema around it. So okay. I could define a schema in Scala, I can define a schema in Hive, and there is no difference going forward after that. You
okay.
write the same queries, same performance.
And so if you do a show table here in this Hive Explorer, the same tables show up.
Same tables show up.
Okay.
And actually, if I delete this cluster and I'm using an external metastore, I create a new cluster and attach it.
And the same tables are there.
The same tables are there. So I have to prep my data once, and then I can use it over and over.
Yeah.
So a few other things which I wanted to show. Actually, I have another cluster. Let me quickly show you. Which is this one. I call it Excel because this has a little more nodes. So if you go and open this one, Spark user password. So this one has 32 nodes. And out of 32 nodes, I have given, I've given Zeppelin 240 cores.
Okay.
Actually, it is using, I think, 212 only in the app. So it is using 212. And if I go to this app here, which I opened, this is Asad K Spark, this one actually I have 1.3 terabyte data. And let me go and pick up an interesting query. Yeah, this one was the query. So let me go and rerun this one. This data is about every flight in the U.S. And
okay.
the data itself was actually smaller. We had to go and use a generator to make it 1.2 terabytes because we wanted to try something on 1.2 terabyte. But
yeah.
but did the same exact things. So basically, you can run this speed at like 20 node cluster. And you hit enter, and it will go and look at some interesting data.
And so this query is a group by the origin of the flights, where they're leaving and which delays they're having?
Yeah.
Okay, so delays by origin.
And then descending it, and then limit, and just picking the top 10 out of that.
Yep.
So it's pretty... Like,
so yeah, there's a group by in there, which
yes.
is a pretty expensive distributed query.
Right, right. And again, this is going against 1.2 terabyte data, and the number of cores I have allocated is around like 20 nodes.
Okay.
And I have the data, I can go and visualize the thing and see right there. So even on like a terabyte plus, and the interesting thing which we have seen in Spark is that the performance goes linearly. So
mm-hmm.
basically, you say, I don't have 1 terabyte, I have 5 terabyte. And I will say, oh, okay, so you don't need, if you, rather than having 15 nodes, if you can have 60 nodes, you will get the same performance.
Okay.
So that way, the engine is very, very powerful, that it linearly
yeah,
scales.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Yeah. So let me go back and quickly see if that Hive thing finished. If it finished. So it finished. Now I go, let me just close this one. If I come here and now if I say SQL show table.
All right, show me the tables.
Yeah, so now it will have crime and crime 2 and crime raw. So crime
okay.
raw and crime 2 came from the Hive editor, and the crime came here. So I can just exactly type in the same thing which I typed here and say this time, don't use crime, but use the crime 2. So I change the name of the table. Nothing changes here. And I go and run the query. And I will get the same result.
Yep. And this one isn't running against the cache table, right? So this is going out and actually
going against the table.
First time running it.
So again, the result returned the result. If I go do the visualization, I will see the same visualization over here.
Very cool.
So I will just end by just showing one ODBC connector and how it works. So so two things I will show. The first one is I will go to powerbi.com, and again, you can use it for free. So anyone can go in there and use the account or create one account. And you can create very, very fancy dashboards in there, and then you can share it with others. So very, very powerful tool. If you go to the get data and say services, you will see that in the databases we have Spark in there. And you click on that, and it says Spark on Azure HD Insight. So they have a first-class support for HD Insight. You can go and click on that thing. It will say what is my cluster name. You come here. This was your cluster name, literally, what it shows here. So you take this one, type it in here, and then you give the username, which is we give it Spark user password. And then we connect here, and once it connects, basically it's importing the metadata at this point. And when it finishes, basically you will have the connectivity to your Spark cluster. You can drag and drop. You can do the exact same thing in Tableau. So you go to download the Tableau 9.0 or the 8 ones, and they ship with the first class support for Edge Insight Spark.
Great.
And
cool.
And both BI tools, what it allows you is that you can easily now, you don't have to know even Spark SQL. So you go here, pick Spark SQL here, give the same cluster name, and the port you have to change, remember that one. And then you say Edge Insight Service. So they have a first class support for Edge Insight Service. The name Spark user, password, and you can go connect over here. And in Tableau, you can even write an initial SQL. So if you wanted to do cache table or something, you can do
okay.
it. So both, whether you are doing the Power BI one, which this is the data set which they downloaded. So
see all the tables, everything's right there.
You can do the same thing over here. So I will just show it in here. You can do the same thing in both tools. So
and
let's say if I go against crime, I click on that thing, I go to the sheet, I say, oh, I was looking at the primary type, and when I go and drag and drop, actually behind the scene, it is generating a Spark SQL for me, and sending it and getting
an execute query just popped up on the screen.
Yep.
So.
And then you can see the number of records, and I will get the same view which I was seeing this, which is like all the crimes over there and their category. Then I can go and say how many were arrested. So I take that. Put it over here. Now it will say for each category how many were actually arrests.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can go and see the categories as well as the arrests. So basically this is narcotics, bad place to do narcotics.
Yep.
Pretty much everybody gets arrested. Thefts is fine. So now you can even say that I want to go and look at per year. So you go and download over here. And it will go and show you the trends over years. So you can say for battery and like criminal damage, you see how
So it's getting safer, right?
Yeah, it's safer. So all the way from 2001 to 10. So now for each category, you get these graphs. Nice. So very nicely, like at this point, I am focused on a business problem and trying to figure out what needs to be changed. If I run the police department or I run a different business, but if I'm doing a data-oriented business, how do I go and change? And I don't worry about writing queries and doing this and that because I get the interactivity because of the Spark. So those are the things. Again, key takeaways is Spark is powerful. It has a lot of tools and things that it provides. Interactivity is one of the powerful ones. And you can go and download any data, any type, is it XML, JSON, CSV. You can put it in the storage account. You can spin up a cluster. You can attach to that storage account. And then you do some tricks, which is like change it to Parquet, give the right resources to your app, cache the table, and then you're good to go, and then use the notebooks or ODBC.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for showing us that. A ton of great tricks and tips in there, and really good to get to see how it happens and see it from start to end. So thanks, Asad. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Again, I'm Andrew Mall, this is Asad Khan, and we're hoping to talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Thanks
for coming. We'll be right back.
time what I can go and do.
That's going in the outtakes.
Yeah, so it's actually running very fast after.